Let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 1 today. Matthew chapter 1. How many are into ancestry.com? Finding out all about your family tree. Anybody doing that? Come on now, raise your hand. Don't be embarrassed, okay? I'm not picking on you. I think it's a cool thing. All right, got a few hands. You know, if it's your habit to skip over genealogies in the Bible, you may have missed a treasure buried in the list in Matthew chapter 1. This shows Jesus' family tree. It's kind of like ancestry.com. And Matthew gives it through the line of Joseph. Luke gives a genealogy through the line of Mary. It's very interesting. But here's the hidden treasure. It is the mention of five women in the genealogy here in Matthew 1. Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, and Mary. It is most unusual to find the names of women in Jewish genealogies. Names and inheritances come through the father. So this was very unusual. But let's look at each one. And as we look at these women, we're going to see an amazing story of redeeming grace. So I've titled the message, The Women of Christmas Grace. Let's pray before we get into God's word. Lord, thank you for the privilege to be here today to preach your word. And I pray it would be an extra special blessing to everyone in attendance or those listening by live stream. I pray that we would see your grace through every story that we share today and that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. First of all, we're going to start in verse 3. Look at the name Tamar. Now, she's the sort of ancestor most of us would not mention as we're recounting our family history. The story of Tamar is a story of incest. She was the daughter-in-law of Judah. Jesus was to come from the tribe of Judah. Shake your head if you remember that, right? Jesus was to come. It was prophesied that he would come through the tribe of Judah. So to sum it up, Judah had three sons, and before it was over, none of them produced any offspring for the tribe to continue. Therefore, Tamar took matters in her own hands. Have y'all ever done that before? Here's what she did, y'all. She disguised herself as a prostitute and slept with Judah and got pregnant. She also asked for a pledge of Judah's signet, his bracelet, and his staff the night that they were together. All right, so now fast forward in the story, Judah was told that Tamar, his daughter-in-law, was pregnant and had played the harlot. He demanded, guess what Judah did? He commanded that Tamar be burned. But wait a minute, Tamar then produced the items belonging to Judah, and his sin was revealed. Guess what Judah did, y'all? He crumbled in guilt. What a horrible mess it was. The child that was born was Phares. That's also mentioned in verse 3. You see that? Right after Tamar, Phares. Yet God says, hey, Tamar belongs in the story of my son. You know what that tells me, church? Now, this is encouraging. Ready? Grace can redeem what sin and sorrow have fractured. Grace can redeem the broken pieces of our lives, that terrible past, the things that we did. And that's what we can see through Tamar. Now let's look at Rahab. Look in verse 5. Now Rahab didn't need a disguise. She had been a harlot. Everyone knew it. She was a resident of Jericho. And that was the first city that Joshua set his eyes on to conquer when they entered the promised land. Two young men were sent in, y'all remember this story, to spy out the land. And when they came to Jericho, they took accommodation in the boarding house run by Rahab. She feared the Lord. She helped the young men to escape on condition that she and her household would be spared when God destroyed Jericho. God's power transformed this pagan, sinful woman. She became a female favored for her faith. She believed in God. Now, you know what that tells me, church? No one is too far from God's grace. And her confession of faith is found in Joshua 2:11. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. She's mentioned in the Hebrews Hall of Faith, Hebrews 11. It's amazing what God did in Rahab's life. Her past was horrible, but her future is bright. Amen? What God did in her life. Now, Rahab was spared when the armies came through Jericho. She married Salmon, and they had a son who ended up being the husband of our next woman in the story. How many of y'all are following me, okay? All right. Rahab marries Salmon, S-A-L-M-O-N. They had a son. His name was Boaz. But let's talk about Ruth. Look at verse 5. You see Ruth there. Now, a whole book in the Bible is given to tell her story, the book of Ruth. Her story is one of loss, one of loneliness, one of starting over. Some of y'all have been in that position. It's a hard situation to deal with. Loss, loneliness, starting over. Now, Ruth was from Moab. Moab was a pagan society. So she was not personally embroiled in sexual scandal, but she came from a people who were. Moab was produced because of incest. Boy, this is getting nitty-gritty, isn't it? It's messy. Moab became because of a result of incest between Lot and his oldest daughter. And they produced Moab. Well, Ruth married one of Naomi's sons, but was now widowed. Naomi and her husband had left the land of Judah. They went to Moab during a time of famine. But then Naomi's husband and her two sons had also died. So now there's three widows, Naomi and her two daughter-in-laws. Now, Naomi decided to return to her inheritance in Judah. All right, the famine's over. I'm going to leave Moab and I'm going to go back to Judah. And the daughters-in-law had the choice of going to Judah with Naomi or staying in Moab. One of their daughters stayed, but Ruth chose to not only go with Naomi, but listen, she trusted in the God of Israel. There was a man by the name of Boaz, who came into the field one day and saw her. It was love at first sight. It was kind of like Leonard and Anna Laura. Y'all raise your hand. Y'all remember their love story? Buddy, you talking about getting married quick, hey man? Toward the end of 2017, they met and boo, sparks flew. And they got married in April of 2018. It was quick. It was love at first sight. That's what I see in the story of Ruth and Boaz. And she became Boaz's wife, who belonged to the family of Naomi. Here in the Jewish law, there was something that's called the kinsman redeemer. You say, preacher, what's that? It's the closest male relative who had the responsibility to protect, rescue, and to provide for a family member in need. In this story, Boaz was the kinsman redeemer. He stepped in to care for Ruth and Naomi, buy back their family land, continue the family line when they couldn't do it themselves. And so he extended grace to Ruth by putting his mantle around her and bringing her, a Gentile, from the land of Moab into the congregation of Israel. You know what that tells me? Grace meets us in our grief. Grace gives us a new family. It provides hope for our future. Are y'all seeing grace all through this line of these three women? Tamar, Rahab, Ruth. And then in verse 6, we see Bathsheba. Now, her story is found in 2 Samuel 11. She's not even mentioned by name, y'all. She's referred to as the wife of Uriah because that's a reminder of David's terrible sin with her. She's the woman that Israel's greatest king could not keep his hands off of. Her story is one of betrayal, one of adultery, one of murder, one of sorrow. David enticed Bathsheba while her husband was away on military duty. And Bathsheba became pregnant. Her husband was murdered in a major cover-up. The baby of their unlawful union died. The family of David never recovered. Nathan the prophet proclaimed that the sword would never leave his household because of the infidelity and because of the murder. David brought upon himself and his entire household a curse that resulted in horrifying suffering for everyone, and also Bathsheba. God, in his amazing mercy, gave David and Bathsheba another son. Guess who it was, y'all? The wise king Solomon. And he's mentioned here in Jesus' genealogy. You know what the story of Bathsheba tells me? That the grace of God is bigger than the worst failure of even the godliest people. Amen? David was a man after God's own heart, but even he messed up. We all mess up. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. So we needed grace. Bathsheba needed grace. All these women needed grace. And then we get to verse 16. And we see Mary, the mother of Jesus. Of course, her story is in Matthew 1 and Luke chapter 2. Now, her story is not about scandal or failure. Really, her story was God stepping in and doing what only He could do. It's a miraculous story. Now, you would expect for the genealogy to continue by saying, Joseph beget Jesus. But it does not say that. Look at verse 16, ready? And Jacob beget Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Now, did you catch it? Did Joseph beget Jesus? No. And notice how it's wording. Obviously, Matthew is making it very clear that Joseph is not the father of Jesus. Jesus was God's son. Say that with me, ready? Jesus was God's son, born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit of God. That is a foundational truth of Christianity, the virgin birth. That's the doctrine that we stick with according to God's word. So here's a young girl. She's minding her own business when an angel of the Lord came and interrupted her life, so much so that she became pregnant before she got married to Joseph. Therefore, this would have lingered over her reputation for all of her entire earthly life. Mary was a descendant of David through his son Nathan. She was handpicked by God to carry Jesus. Christmas becomes the moment that grace takes upon flesh. How many believe the Word became flesh and dwelt among us? And God used the vehicle of Mary to get Jesus to the earth. Now, these five women are listed. What's even crazier is that these women and their families, you know, where they came from, they were anything but perfect. So many times, I told my Sunday school class this morning, we look at the people in the Word of God and we put them on a pedestal and we think, woohoo, they're so super spiritual. Let me remind you, they're just like us. They're flesh. They made mistakes. Now, God used them greatly, but they messed up just like we do. Would y'all all agree that they had some serious issues? Every one of the ones I mentioned this morning. Jesus' family tree was messed up, and some of y'all's family trees messed up too. I'm sure there are skeletons in all of our closets if we were to do some research and find out. But here's my point. God chose these imperfect people to be a part of the Christmas story. Now I got some observations. Number one, I just thought of this. God can choose and use anyone he wants. Isn't that good? He wants to use you. He's got a plan for your life. How many believe we need to live according to the will of God? Not our own will. He's got a plan for you. He can use anybody. He wants to use us. He can take all of our mess and turn it into a masterpiece. Hallelujah. That's what he does. I believe that's what he did in the lives of Tamar, the temptress, Rahab, the seductress, Ruth, the pagan woman, and old Bathsheba, the bathing beauty. God used them in spite of all of that. And that's what I see in this picture. God can choose, use anyone he wants. Then I thought about this one. In grace, Jesus blots out our past. Whew, I'm so glad Jesus buries our past. The story is told of a preacher in Ireland. Listen. He returned to preach in the town where he grew up. And when he entered the pulpit that day, he found a note on the pulpit. And guess what it said, y'all? If you preach here tonight, I'm going to tell everyone about your past. Whoa. You know what that preacher did? He grabbed that note. He held it up high before the congregation, read it out loud, and then said, "You can paint it across the sky, but then I'll paint over it the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." Isn't that amazing? How many believe that this morning? Our sins are washed away. See, what we were in the past is under the blood of Jesus. God blotted it all out. Paul said that he was the chief of sinners. He murdered believers. He threw others in prison. He took part in the stoning of Stephen. We looked at that story here recently. Yet God took Paul, used him mightily to establish his church. Man, what redeeming grace is that? Here's a man that's killing Christians and then becomes a great Christian, a great soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, let's go back to the women. These women were tainted. Some were born outside of Israel, and they were tainted by their former behaviors or their former profession. Even Mary was a sinner, like every one of us. But here's another observation that I make. Their faith in God changed the course of their lives. How many of you, your faith in God has changed the course of your life? Amen? That's what it's all about. God doesn't care where we come from. He doesn't care about our past mistakes. He offers forgiveness. He offers hope. He doesn't care what we were, but who we become and what he makes us. I wrote this down. I want the guys to get it. Here's the progression that I see in this story. See if you agree with me. Ready? We come to Jesus as sinners, just like Tamar. Are we in agreement there? Okay. Then we hold out the hand of faith, just like Rahab. And then by his marvelous grace, he saves us, just like Boaz saved Ruth. And then through the story of Bathsheba with David, we see that God doesn't throw us overboard because we're his child. And just because we sin, he doesn't get rid of us. Y'all, we have eternal salvation. If you've truly trusted Jesus Christ sincerely in your heart, he doesn't take it away. Salvation is eternal. And I'm so glad he doesn't throw us overboard when we mess up. A sheep can get out of the fold. Would y'all agree with me? A sheep can wander away, get off track. A Christian can become backslidden. Are you with me? But we have a shepherd who goes after the sheep, brings him back in the fold. He brought David back. And these women, I tell you, they either committed or suffered disgrace. Whether they deserved it or not, these women endured the contempt of others. They felt the pain of shame. Have you ever been there? But God no longer sees them as disgraceful. He sees them as redeemed. How many are so thankful you're redeemed this morning? Through His power, God changed their identities. God is saying loudly through these women this morning. Let me get the scripture right. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Say it with me. Ready? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In Christ, the old has passed away. Jesus takes away our old reputations. And in Jesus, our past sin, maybe the abuse or the injustice that we've suffered, the ways that we view ourselves, the way we view others, all of that, that's not who we are. Because now Jesus says, you are my child. I've washed you and made you clean. You are holy. No one has the authority to say otherwise except Jesus to tell us you are clean. Then He says, you are my beloved. Hey, these women, being in Christ's genealogy is really all about redemption. And that's why Jesus came to earth as a baby in a manger. He came to rescue us. We were lost and we needed salvation. And I told the guys to put this on the thing. Before the story of Christmas is shared in Matthew 1, the rest of the chapter is about the birth of Jesus. But before that is shared in Matthew 1, before we see reminders through these women and through this genealogies, here's what it reminds us of. Ready? The lavish, unmerited grace of Jesus to the despised, the unlikely, and the undeserved. You ever felt despised? You ever felt, man, God could never use me? Very unlikely that He could ever do something in my life. Or how about the undeserved? None of us deserve salvation. But thank God for His mercy. He loves to produce something beautiful out of something horrible. He loves to make foreigners His children. He loves to reconcile His enemies. That's what grace is all about. He was born to die for us because He loves us so much. Do you know grace is not just an ideal? Grace is a person, and that person is Jesus. John 3:16 and 17, say it with me, ready? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You know what the Christmas story reminds me of? Grace is not distant. Grace is not abstract. Grace came near, wrapped in flesh, and born in a manger. The greatest news of Christmas is not simply that grace came into the world, but it's that grace came for you and me. That same Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem, came to die on the cross, and then He rose again from the dead, and He offers forgiveness. He offers new life that only He can give. There's only one way to God. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. This morning, you don't have to clean up yourself first. Isn't that good news? Amen. You don't have to fix your past. You don't have to earn God's love. I got good news for you. All you need to do, here's the starting point, trust in Jesus. The Bible simply says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that He is the only way believe that he is the way of salvation and be saved today.